Excellent job. Thank you so much. You guys really set the table well. Thank you very, very much. If you take your Bibles, we're going to look at a couple passages this morning. The first being John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5 and verse 27. Page 97 in your pew Bible. And then just a few pages down, Acts chapter 4. Verses 5 to 12, which is page 113. I'm going to be reading this morning from the Life Application Bible. Reason for that is many, many times the modern translations have a way of helping us grasp the essence in our own language. When I preach, I generally start with the KJV, then go back to the Hebrew and the Greek. You wouldn't want me to try to struggle through reading Hebrew and Greek for you this morning. So the Life Application Bible is a good, good translation, and for the most part is really theologically solid as well. So John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5 and 27. Anyone refusing to walk through the gate into a sheepfold who sneaks over the wall must surely be a thief. For a shepherd comes through the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice and come to him. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He walks ahead of them, and they follow him, for they recognize his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but in fact will run from him, for they don't recognize his voice. Verse 27, my sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And now from Acts. Peter and John had been arrested for preaching the gospel. You know, we're so blessed to live where we do, where we can boldly proclaim the gospel message in such a way that we won't be persecuted for it from the authorities. But yet in that first century, as Christianity was just starting to grow, it was illegal. And so they're standing before a group of religious folk called the Sanhedrin. And we read these words as Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, bears testimony. The next day it happened that at the council of the Jewish leaders, they were in session in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's relatives. So the two disciples were brought in before them. By what power or by what authority have you done this? The council demanded. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, honorable leaders and elders of our nation, if you mean the good deed done to this man who was lame and is now healed, let me clearly state to you and to all the people of Israel that it was done in the name and power of Jesus from Nazareth, the Messiah, the man whom you crucified, but God raised back to life again. It is by his authority that this man stands here healed. For Jesus the Messiah is the one referred to in the Scriptures when they speak of a stone discarded by the builders, which became the capstone of the arch. There is salvation in no one else. Under all heaven, there is no other name for people to call upon who will save them. Let's pray. Gracious God, we just want to come to you. We're humbled, Lord, at the reading and hearing of your holy word. And we thank you, Lord, that you have preserved your words. But we thank you also, Lord, that they are alive. They are living, breathing words. And just as relevant and real in our lives today as they were when you first thought and expressed them. So, Father God, as we humble ourselves before you, may your Holy Spirit move amongst us in a mighty way, teaching us what he wants us to learn. And, Father God, again, with humility, I just beg you to hide me behind the cross that I would not get in the way of what your Holy Spirit wants to teach us in these few moments. We humble ourselves before you in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you have ever had the privilege of hearing Dr. Roy Lauder from Asbury? Okay. Dr. Lauder is, in my humble opinion, one of the best preachers and teaching pastors how to preach, one of the greatest that the country has to offer today. And he tells a story. He tells a story. It's not mine, so don't write me, okay? It's about a couple of his made-up cousins named Ezra and Arzi. Now, Arzi, if you just look at it, is simply Ezra spelled backwards. Back in the hills of Kentucky where Dr. Lauder is from, that's how they named their children. Well, these two boys had worked hard, and they really didn't have a lot going for them. They really weren't financially doing well. And so the townspeople there, great town, wonderful town, I guess maybe 50, 60 people. It's a large, large area there if you've ever been to the hills of Kentucky. And they decided they're going to send the two boys on a trip. They'd never been out of what they call Squabble Creek before. And so they decided they were going to send them on a trip. Well, what else? What better place to go to than Disney World, right? Anybody been to Disney World? Did you bring pictures? Okay, all right. Disney World's it's a great place, isn't it? I mean, it's just awesome. It's amazing. So Ezra and Arzi are getting all excited. Yeah, we're going to Disney World. Yeah, it's all excited. So the townspeople got together, and they helped them clean up their 54 Ford truck, and they got it all ready. And they said, well, how are we going to get to Disney World? And they said, we're going to tell you. Listen to our voices. Listen to the directions we give you, and you will end up in Disney World. Okay, so they tell them how to go and so forth and so on. And they say, now when you get on this one major highway, look for the big sign. And whatever the sign says, that will be your directions. And just follow the sign. Do what the sign says. So they figured it would take from Squabble Creek to get to Disney World, it would take probably about 5 days just to get there in that old Ford that they had. 3 days later, here comes the truck backfiring and sputtering and spitting and just coming over the hills. And the townspeople are like, what? It's only been 3 days. They didn't have time to get there yet. What's going on? So Ezra gets out of the car and he's like, oh, it's terrible. Oh my golly, it is so terrible. I just can't believe all my... So the mayor comes out and he goes, Ezra, what's going on? Arzi didn't even get out of the truck. He's like, Ezra, what's going on? Oh, I can't tell you. This is the worst awful thing in the world. Ezra, did you follow the directions? Oh, yeah, we followed those directions right to the letter. Oh, my goodness. It's terrible. It's terrible. And he says, well, did you get to Disney? No, we didn't get there. Well, tell me what happened. I can't tell you. It's the worst awful thing ever happened in the world. Oh, you're never going to believe it. Oh, my golly, it's just terrible. See, I lived in the South for a while, and that's how we used to talk. So they're trying to... Now the crowd comes out. 49 of the 50 townspeople are there, and they're in... Arzi's just in the car or the truck beside himself. He just can't get going. Well, you know, we's going down the road, and we didn't even stop to sleep at that hotel that you got for us, where they keep the light on for you, and we just kept right on driving through, and we stopped, and we saw a policeman, and we asked him the directions. He said, yeah, just follow. You're going to see a green sign, and that green sign's going to tell you exactly what to do. But oh my golly, we said, oh, it's the worst thing. You just ain't going to believe it. This just isn't making any sense. All right, I guess I got to tell you. You know, we're driving, everything is cool, and we're all excited about getting to Disney World. And we got, there's the sign! There it is, the big green sign! And it said Disney World left. Oh my God. All right, you'll get it about 11 o'clock when the service... Come back and... All right, well, I'm just going to take that one right out of the sermon. I ain't going to do that one no more. Disney World... Did you get it, Steve? Okay, thank you. Voices. Everybody is ready to give us direction. Give us voices. See, you're just laughing because I actually have my pastor shoes on today and not my water shoes. I didn't find them. Judy found them. I packed the box, but she found them. So thank you for your grace last week with my water shoes. But, you know, I tell you that story because, A, I like it. But B, sometimes we can think we're hearing a voice. But sometimes as we funnel it through who we are, we get the wrong interpretation of what that voice is saying. And sometimes we don't listen to the right voices. They're all around us. And the voices that we listen to have a big impact on who we are and in our lives. Is it really true? I mean, I'm serious here. Is it really true that as a man who parts his hair in the middle, okay, that if I do not join Hair Club for Men, that nobody will like me? That's what the commercial says, isn't it? You ever see the commercial? They show the guy, right? They show the guy before. And then after, when he's got this fern on his head, does that mean that nobody likes me if I don't join Hair Club for Men? Is it really true that just having a few flakes of dandruff on your shoulder will cause no one to get involved with you in your business? Is it true? Listen to the message. It comes through from your TV screen. They make us feel like we can't live without this or we can't be successful without that. Is that the voice we want to be listening to in our lives? You know, there was a young married woman one time called a newspaper office and asked for the food editor. She says, "Sir, can you please help me? I'm cooking a very special dinner tonight for my husband's boss, my husband's boss's wife. I've never cooked a big dinner before, and I want everything to be perfect. I just bought a 19-pound turkey. Can you tell me how long it will take to cook in my new microwave?" The man says, "Just a minute." She goes, "Oh, good, thank you so much. You've been a big help. Goodbye." Yum. I can't wait. She heard a voice, but was it the voice she needed to hear? And did she understand the instructions that were given? Jesus, in John chapter 10, makes a great and very clear and understandable point. My sheep will hear my voice, and they will follow me. They will hear my voice and follow me. Again, just getting to meet you and learn about the great ministry here at Pittman, I have not heard this said here. However, other churches I have served have said this, that 10% of the people do 90% of the work in the church. Why aren't the other 90% listening to the voice that's saying, "Get up and follow me"? We hear, it's kind of like one lady in my very first church who said to me, "It doesn't matter to me what you say on Sunday, I'm not going to listen to you." I go, "Well, that's okay, that's cool, you don't have to listen to me. Please do not listen to me, but you need to listen to Him." Jesus said, "My sheep," not might, "my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me." And it's so important today. You see, throughout the pages of the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 56, Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 25, Ezekiel 34, Zechariah 11, all talk about God being a shepherd to His flock. Jesus builds on that. Because the relationship between a shepherd and the sheep is special. It's very, very special. Let me ask a question, and feel free to answer. It's okay. You can talk to me during worship. It's good. And tell me the truth, where you're at this morning. Do you believe that God is still actively talking today? 36%, 37% maybe? Okay. When you look at the original languages, when it talks about the Word of God, it is not like you pick up a TV guide and you read words that are there frozen for that week. These words are active and still growing and very much applicable for our life today. Let me ask a rhetorical question now. If we take the Bible off the scene, what other objective material of God do we have? We don't. Why do you think the Bible is so criticized and attacked? Because if we take the Scriptures out of the scene, there's no objective. Now it becomes my opinion versus your opinion. The Scriptures remain totally objective. And that is what we need to stand on. What is really neat is, remember in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted, what did He tell Satan? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, stay with me, because here's your Greek word for the day, okay? The word is ekpoiameo, okay? Probably has Hawaiian origins, I don't know. But it means a continuing function. In other words, a word which is continuing. Which means in that context, and whenever you look at it in either testament that says God is speaking, what that is simply implying is God has spoken, God is speaking, God will continue to speak. He didn't say it one time and that's it. God is continuing to speak to us. Are we listening? Are we listening? You know, sometimes, and believe me, it isn't easy serving the Lord, even if you're a pastor. There's challenges. There's all kinds of voices coming at you, many different directions. Jim Kyer, you remember transistor radios, right? Remember those things? Remember how before they all became digital? How if you didn't have it directly on the station, it was staticky and annoying. Remember that? I know about it because Jim just told me about it one time when I was growing up. And one of the things that you would do is you would either get so frustrated that you would just turn it down so you couldn't hear it, or you would what? Turn it off. My fear is, could it be that God's people are doing that because they're so distracted instead of being tuned in to the voice of the shepherd? Oh, I don't feel like listening to that anymore. So you turn it off. Or you go away. And God says, just listen to me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Remember 1969, Harry Nilsson recorded a song, Everybody's Talking. Part of the lyrics say, everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. You guys remember that song? Yeah, sure you do. That's right. People stop and staring. I can't see their faces. Okay, that's your folk song for the week. You know, when we go out into the community, there are people rushing to get from here to there and everywhere in between. And they're just blank. They're looking for a purpose. They're looking for a hope. They're looking for a shepherd who's going to love them and affirm them and tell them that everything is going to be okay. Second century, Clement of Alexandria. Second century, he says this, we need a Savior. In our wanderings, we need a guide. In our blindness, we need someone to show us the light. In our thirst, we need a fountain of living water that quenches forever the thirst of those who drink from it. We sheep need a shepherd. We children need a teacher. This world needs Jesus Christ. So, somebody out there is like, all right, maybe he'll think it's 100% if I say it louder. Second century, the world needs Jesus Christ. Can I ask you, if the second century needed it, how much more does the 21st century need Jesus Christ? Amen. All right. Let me offer a couple things up to you very quickly this morning. Very quickly. The first thing, God wants to speak to you. That blows me away. The God of the universe wants to speak to you and to me. The God who created us. As Psalm 139 says, the God that put all our parts together. As Genesis 1 says, the God who said, let it be, and it was, wants to have a relationship with you. Man, I'm being honest here. I can't wrap my head around that. I can't wrap my head around that. That is just too great for me to imagine. You know, if I were, and some of you may have heard me say this before, if I were sitting at a computer and designing the perfect garden, and all of a sudden, one of those little stick figures that I created on the screen rebelled, what would we do? We'd hit delete and start over again, wouldn't we? But God didn't do that. God says, I love you so much, and I put my spark in you, that I'm going to show you how much I love you. And I'm going to try to talk to you. And I'm going to try to reach out to you. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, go to verse 8, what does it say? And God came looking for Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And what's it say? God called out to them. Who was it that hung up the phone? We did. God has never hung it up. He's kept the line open to continue to want to talk to us. Hence why I said last week, we shouldn't have meetings where we pray at the end for God to rubber stamp what we've decided, but rather begin with prayer, begin with study, find what God wants, and then at the end ask Him to adjust our thinking and our minds to what He wants. Amen?
Amen.
All right, 92, we're getting there. All right. The same God that says, I am always with you, I'll never leave you or forsake you, the same God that says, I will make everything work together for good for those who love God and are called to His purposes, wants to have a sit down with you and me. Man, it blows me away. A great man from Pittman, I understand, by the name of C. Austin Miles, didn't he write a song which says in part, and he, you know it, walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Finish it. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Isn't it amazing? When you're alone with Jesus Christ, there's nothing more uplifting, invigorating, exciting and being with Him. And He wants that for us every moment of every day. St. Augustine of Hippo wrote, there is a voice of the shepherd. We are to recognize it and follow it. Can you recognize the voice of Jesus through the confusion of the world? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. I've been told, I don't know if this is true or not, maybe, do we have any dog trainers here? Okay, you correct me if I'm wrong, okay? Because I've always been told that dog trainers will consult with their clients before actually meeting their four-legged friends, because they want to know the little nuances, the personality of the canine friend they're about to meet. But sometimes, I'm sure you're well aware, sometimes the client doesn't always hear what the trainer is saying. For example, there was one woman who went to the trainer, and the trainer was explaining, this lady was dutiful. Boy, she was copious notes. So as the lady got up to leave, the trainer called out, "Don't forget, bring the collar and the leash next week." Very good, gotcha. Next week comes, room full of dogs. Here's a woman standing with a collar and a leash. Missed the point entirely. She wasn't tuned in to what the trainer was saying. And she missed the point. Do we ever do that with God rhetorically? Do we ever think, with good intentions, we think we've got it right, but we just missed it? Thanks be to God, He's a God of the second chance. He's a God that says, okay, we're going to make it right. We're going to make it better. The second thing I want us to get is God continues to speak in many ways. God is constantly speaking. God is constantly in conversation. You ever notice that even during creation, the Bible says what? And God said. He spoke it until it came to you and I. And then He decided, now I really want to get personal. And I want to get intimate with the shining star of my creation. God is continuing to speak. He spoke to Noah. Noah? Huh? Build a boat. What's a boat? It's going to rain. What's rain? But God gives him every detail. He gives him the blueprint. Leaves nothing unturned. Why? I would argue because Noah was expecting to hear the voice of God. And he trusted Him and stepped out in faith, even though in an area that gets less than an inch of rain a year, he made a boat. And he trusted God and took God at His word. Listened to His voice. In other words, he followed. Abraham, get up and go. Where am I going? I'll tell you when you get there. Thanks be to God, the bishop at least tells us where we're going when he calls us. But with Abraham, that wasn't the case. Just get up and go and I'll tell you to stop. Abe says, okay, honey, guess what? We're moving. Pack the kids and the cattle and let's go. And they went. God used a burning bush to get Moses' attention. I love what the writer of Hebrews says. In many times in the past, God has spoken through our ancestors and to our ancestors through the prophets and in so many wonderful ways, but now He has spoken to us through His Son. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me." Another way, God speaks through the Bible. I'll build on this for next week, but God speaks through the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Paul writes, "Everything in Scripture is God's Word, inspired, theopneumos. It's a word which means God breathed. He breathed out these words. And all of it is useful for teaching and helping people and for correcting and showing them how to live. The Scriptures train God's servant to do all kinds of good deeds." You know, the Bible remains our guideline in the UMC. Remains our guideline. John Wesley wrote, "God Himself has condescended to teach the way. For this very end, God came down from heaven. And He wrote it all down in a book." Oh, give me that book. Any price, give me the book of God. I have it. Here it is. Knowledge enough for me. Oh my golly. Do you look for the Scriptures in that way? You say, well, Jim, you're supposed to. You're a pastor. You're supposed to study the Scriptures every day. When I was a kid, when we finally settled in Delanco, a lot of times I would go down to the riverbank and I would take my Good News for Modern Man, which you heard about last week, and I would take the Bible and just sit there by myself and just read and read and read and let it become part of who I am. And when you read it, friends, just don't read and go, okay, good, I've done my duty for today. No, imagine yourself in the drama. Imagine yourself behind the scenes watching what's going on. Then reread it and imagine yourself being right there as the one Jesus is talking to. It will just explode in technicolor for you. God speaks through His Word. A couple of years ago, I was talking with a friend and we were out driving. And one thing you'll have to know about me, I can't make this stuff up. Okay? I really can't. And I thought I'd had a good relationship with this guy. And he surprised me because all of a sudden, at clear ability, he says, I'm going to be divorcing my wife. Not giving me any real reasons, but just coming out with that statement out of the clear blue. Of course, I was concerned. And he said he was looking for a sign and he kept asking God for a sign that he was supposed to divorce his wife. And so, as we were driving down the road, there were two crows that were sitting on a fence. And he says, Jim, you see those two crows? If they are there when we return, I'll take that as a sign from God that I am to divorce my wife. See if I get 100% on this one. Is that a true litmus test of God's will? No, it is not. What he's doing is what we call eisegesis. He was trying to find something for God to support his idea. No. We need to wrestle with the Word of God. But God also speaks to our experiences. He speaks to our experiences. You know, this is why Wesley developed a quadrilateral of Scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. Because the way God has worked in your life will be different at times than how He's worked in my life. But very often, would you not agree, we really can't see it until after the fact. Then we connect the dots and we go, oh my golly, God has been with me. So that experience now becomes another foundational block for us to continue to listen to that live voice of God that's talking to us. Many times, God has spoken, and I haven't heard it. Kind of reminded me, you've probably heard the story. I told you last week, there's only 10 stories pastors know, and so here's number 2. There was a great flood, and a man's home was destroyed, and the flood waters kept rising and rising and rising, so he goes all the way up to the roof. But the floodwaters, Mary Lou, are still rising. Couldn't swim. He had no life jacket. He's praying, God, save me! God, you got to save me! God, you got to save me! God, you got to save me! Praying. All of a sudden, here comes a rescue boat. Here comes a rescue boat. Here, grab the line. Jump in. We'll save you. No, I will not. God is going to save me. Okay, have it your way. There it goes. Next thing, helicopter. Flying overhead. Grab the line! You'll be okay! No! Take it back! I'm fine! God is going to save me! Flood water keeps rising. Next thing, the man drowns. Wakes up in heaven. There, God. Yeah, standing before Jesus, so he gets that initial excitement like, yeah, oh, wait a minute. Lord, wait a minute. You know, I kept praying to you. I kept asking you to save me. Why didn't you? He says, I sent you a boat and a helicopter. What more could I do? He wasn't in tune. Oh, he was doing the religious stuff, but he wasn't in tune. Okay? The radio station was just one number off. He wasn't in tune. And so he couldn't hear that God was going to use our own experiences and our own resources to make a difference. The Holy Spirit tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, if you hear God's voice today, don't be stubborn. Jesus says in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and will open the door, then I will come in. But that's the only way. Are you hearing the voice of Jesus calling you? Perhaps for the first time. Perhaps you've never made a commitment to Christ in your life. You're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit this morning saying, hey, come on back home. You who are weary, come home. Listen, you know what's so beautiful about that voice of God? Is it doesn't matter if you're at work, if you're at school, if you're in the hospital room, if you're in the doctor's office, if you're at the pharmacy, if you're at your social hangouts. It doesn't matter even if you're in a funeral parlor. The voice of God is still speaking to us. And God wants to give us exactly what we need for this moment. But are we listening? Are we listening to Him? Are we listening for His voice? He wants to speak to us. Yes, He wants to speak to us, even in Disney World. Even when we misread the big green sign, He still wants to speak to us. One final story. From Franklin Delano Roosevelt. FDR was a great, great president, as we all know. Well, one particular White House function, President Roosevelt was... He says, you know, sometimes I just get tired in those long lines, putting on the presidential smile and the presidential handshake and saying all the right presidential stuff. And you know what? I have an idea that I really don't think people are listening to me. So President Roosevelt was feeling ornery and decided to do something a little different. As he's greeting this big event, big gala event, hundreds of people come by. And the president stood there with a smile and greeted everybody, and he said these words, and I'm quoting, he says, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And the responses that he was getting was, good job, Mr. President. Keep up good work, Mr. President. Not hearing a word President Roosevelt was saying. Finally, one dignitary from another country, after President Roosevelt says, I murdered my grandmother this morning, a diplomat responded softly, I'm sure she had it coming, sir. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow Him. We don't follow a man. We follow, and we put our hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Pray. Lord Jesus, sometimes life is tough, as you know. You put on our flesh. You walk this life. You yourself were hearing voices from so many different directions. And yet, Lord, you never, ever lost the signal of hearing the voice of your Father. Lord Jesus, we just pray this day that in the power of the Holy Spirit, you would just fine-tune our connections so that we may be able to hear the voice of God. Lord, you call us into a saving grace with you, but then, Lord, you don't leave us as orphans. You continue, Lord, to call us, to equip us, to talk to us, and to give us exactly what we need for the moment. So, Father God, I just want to pray for anyone here who may be struggling this day. Perhaps, Lord, they're struggling with their relationship with you. I just pray, Lord, that your Spirit would minister to them. Perhaps, Lord, someone is here today that is having some issues with their health, maybe financial issues, maybe relational issues. Jesus, I just pray that Your Holy Spirit will come upon them in a powerful way as well. Bring its healing, but Lord, that they also would know that You're such a gentle, caring, loving shepherd. Speak Your still small voice. Whisper in our ear. Hold us as Your little lamb. And teach us what we need to be taught. And we pray all these things in the name of the One who lived and died and rose again, the One who's coming back for us as well, Jesus Christ our Lord.